Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? We're going to be talking this morning on the word honor, concluding our series that we've been doing for the past 3 weeks. And today we're going to be talking about honoring fathers. But first, what I'd like to do is let's just look one more time at this word. What does the word honor mean? Well, let's show a few pictures here. First up, we have a picture. This is the Medal of Honor. This is, some would say, the highest award that you can possibly achieve in military. It shows heroism, utmost respect. It is something that they all would strive to have. This next picture here, this is a movie called Men of Honor. Who here has seen this movie, Men of Honor? Okay, a lot more of you in this service have seen it. So apparently you guys are bigger movie buffs than the first service was. It's a great movie, and it's one of my favorites. The whole movie, the character Cuba Gooding Jr. is playing is striving the whole movie to become a master sea diver, and he goes through hardship and many troubles, but ultimately he keeps pressing on because of the honor that he feels within his heart for that position. Let's go to the next picture. Who has seen this movie, Last Samurai? Last Samurai, yeah. It's a very good movie. Also one of my favorites. And in this movie, we see Tom Cruise's character is captured by the Japanese samurai, and he has to spend a winter with them. And while he is there, he is won over by them. And it all really is wrapped around the honor that he sees them showing one another, and it wins him over for that group. Also this morning, in my box here, I've got some things that I'm going to show you guys. That these are just some things that we honor ourselves with. Here I have, this is my high school Letterman jacket. And I went to Fike. Anybody here went to Fike? Yeah. These jackets, we hold these in high honor. The letter that you have here, and you get a little patch, and then as you advance in it, you get more and more pins here, just showing more and more honor. And so when you see someone, as of myself here, there's no room left on my letter here, I'm pretty highly honored, you know. So, and then, of course, I've got my last name Combs on here, which, of course, is sad. I was thinking, you know, one day I'd pass this on to my daughter. However, the current district we live in, she's going to probably go to Hunt. So, I just don't know about that. But anyway, so also in here, we have this is the cap that we wear when we graduate. And as you can see, mine, when I graduated college, had a pink tassel, which is just, I was overjoyed to wear this one. And basically that meaning that I was in the School of Music, art majors, they also wear the pink tassel. And so we put a box on our head, and we are honored by this. We think it's, you know, and I don't know that I never did resolve at first service which side you're supposed to start with the tassel. I believe you start here, and then you flip it to this side showing you graduate. And it's just like, okay, we consider ourselves honored when we wear this thing and we flip the tassel. Kind of odd that we would do that. Also here I've got in my box a couple of awards that I've won through the years. These are here at WCC, some of the greatest awards, much like the Medal of Honor. These mean I have won the Men's Fantasy Football League. This is from 2011. And I'm assuming I didn't get an award for winning this year. I'm assuming maybe this is like a belt you pass on if somebody else wins. But I won in my league there, and then I won the overall championship here. So, of course, this one being a mouth guard thing, I could use that for other things. And yeah, so it's a really prestigious award that I've won. Also here I've got today we're talking about Father's Day, and so I've got my very first Father's Day card. I dug this up. This is from 2010, my first year as a father. Caroline gave me this card, and it's an interesting thing we do with cards. We go to the store and we find a card that someone else wrote and thought about. We read it and we say, I can relate to that. And we buy the card, and then you give it to the person, and they feel honored that you bought them this card. And I do feel honored, oddly enough. And then, you know, if you really love them, you write something special in there to them. And so this is for my first Father's Day. And then lastly here, I'm going to show you guys. This is my wife, Caroline. This is her college diploma. I also have a college diploma. However, it is not framed. And so it's not worth showing you this morning. And that's not because I am not proud of the fact that I graduated from East Carolina University. It is merely the fact that I have, for some reason, not ever had the right money at the right time to buy the frame for it, which they are not cheap. So this is an honor, and you know, so we have these certificates, and they have this written, you know, stuff on here. It's not handwritten; it's just a printed off thing. They give you this seal and a signature from someone you've never met before, the dean of the school, and you feel honored to achieve this. So we use the word honor a lot. We say it's an honor to be here, or I'm honored by your presence. It would be an honor to serve. But what does the word honor actually mean? Well, in the dictionary, it says honesty, fairness, or integrity in one's beliefs and actions, a man of honor, a source of credit or distinction, to be an honor to one's family, high respect as for worth, merit, or rank, to be held in honor, such respect manifested, a memorial in honor of the dead, such as a gravestone, high public esteem, fame, glory. He has earned his position of honor. Our theme verse for this series has been Romans chapter 13, verse 7, which says, pay to all honor to whom honor is owed. And so this morning, we're talking about honoring fathers. But I'm going to go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room, which is that I'm willing to bet half or maybe more than half of us here did not have a good father. You maybe had a father who hurt you in some way. And it is difficult for you just to even sit in this room on Father's Day because it represents the fact that you in some way are honoring him by coming to church on Father's Day. So why do you need to hear about this morning? Why does any of us need to hear a message about honoring fathers? Well, it's because God is very clear in the Bible that we should honor our fathers. And despite their worthiness, we can, with Christ's power, learn to honor them as well as our Heavenly Father. How can we be obedient to honor our earthly fathers as well as our Heavenly Father? Well, the Scripture gives us three actions that lead to honoring God the Father. So we're going to get out our Bibles this morning. That's the other thing I got in the box. Get our Bibles. Flip to, we're getting ready to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. I learned in first service that, well, I don't know why I didn't think about this, but you have the Scripture in your bulletin. I was going to do a Bible drill, which is completely pointless if you have the Scripture in your bulletin. So, those of you who do still want to flip with me in your Bibles, have the good old faithful paper Bible. I got this one when I was 12, or your smartphones or whatever. Flip to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to be reading to you from the Message translation this morning, which those of you who have ever been in a small group with me know that we call that the crunk version. And I'm not going to get into trying to describe completely what that word means, but it basically means the street version, okay? So this is in your language. It says Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, namely, so you will live well and have a long life. Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. Servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. And work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. Good work will get you good pay from the master, regardless of whether you are slave or free. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen? So three actions that lead to honoring God the Father. First one, children, honor your fathers. Verse 2 and 3 said, honor your father and mother is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, namely, so you will live well and have a long life. Paul observed here as he was writing this passage that this is the first commandment that came with a perk. I'd never noticed that before, that when reading the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus, this is the first one that actually has a perk to it. It says in Exodus chapter 20, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God is giving you. So when you honor your father and your mother, The scripture says that you are going to have a good and long life. But it also implies a curse that if you don't do this, you will not have a good and long life. In Matthew 15:3, Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commands of God? For instance, God says, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of their father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give God what I would have given to you.' In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God.'" And so we see here what's happening is the people were saying to their parents when they were coming to that point in life where they needed their help, they needed their assistance financially or whatever it would be, they were coming to them and saying, "I'm so sorry, I cannot help you, for I have given this to God's kingdom, and so therefore I do not have anything left to give to you." What Christ here says that you are cutting corners. He was talking to them saying, you are cutting corners, and you're trying to make up some way around honoring your parents. See, the scripture does not give us an out for honoring our father. In Exodus, it doesn't say honor your father and mother if they're worth honoring, if they're worthy of respect, if they've been a good parent to you. It doesn't have anything like that. Every passage in the Bible that talks about honoring your father is clear that you should honor them, but it does not say anything about a reason why you wouldn't or shouldn't. So the Bible doesn't give us an out here. But here's the tough part. It not only is it enough that we just be obedient and going through with the action, God is looking at our heart in all of it. In verse 8 and 9 it said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God." When we don't truly honor God, when we don't truly honor our fathers, our worship is a farce. I'll be honest, I had to look that word up. I wasn't really sure. I knew it kind of sounds like a silly word. And so I thought it had something to do with your worship being silly. And sure enough, you look it up, it says, "Foolish show, mockery, a ridiculous sham." And so when we come together this morning, we just got done praising God through song. Some of us right now are serving in the children's ministry, serving in the tech booth, and we're worshiping God. Us being here this morning and listening to His word spoken and just following along and praising Him, we worship God. But if we don't follow His command here and honor our fathers, our worship is a ridiculous show. It is a mockery. It is a sham. Oh, so what sin has your father committed against you that permits you to make a mockery of God? What did your earthly father do to you that gives you the out to say, "I'm not going to honor my father, and I'm going to, in turn, be disobedient to God, and in my worship, be a sham before Him"? In the church e-zine this past week, if you saw it, you'll see that we hacked into my dad's blog. And I took ownership of it. I said I hacked into it, but I really didn't do that. Pastor Jonathan Minter hacked into it. He helped me out. Yeah. He's been caught. And I had the opportunity to write about my dad. He didn't know I was going to do it. And it was a fun thing to do to honor my dad in that easing. But one thing you will have saw there is that my dad is a great father, but he is also a human being. and he's not perfect. And there's been times over the years where he's angered me. He has hurt me. And there's been times where, especially as a kid, you know, you go through the, like, where you're at odds with your parent. He and I had some tough years together whenever I was around 14 years old. And so in thinking about that, I was thinking about the story of Jesus and Joseph. Let's show this picture here. On the right, we see Joseph. On the left, we see Jesus. This is an artist's illustration of maybe what it looked like when Joseph was teaching Jesus to be a carpenter. This is a part of Jesus' life we don't really think about that much because the Bible doesn't say much about that part of his life. And I wonder what it was like for Jesus to honor Joseph. You know, we kind of assume Joseph was a good father. We don't really know much about him other than what we read, you know, with them Mary and Joseph having the baby and everything. But we don't really know much about him. We kind of assume he's a good father. But imagine Jesus Christ, who has, prior to ever coming to earth and taking the form of a baby, he had already existed for an eternity. All right, so let's pause just a second there. Think about this. Jesus Christ, prior to coming to earth, had already existed for an eternity. There wasn't a spot he like popped up out of nowhere. He had just always been. And I know it's, you know, still morning time, and that you're like, I can't comprehend this. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. This is just beyond our comprehension to imagine something having always been. But Jesus had. Not only that, but Jesus, as God, knows all things. So he had seen everything that Joseph had ever done wrong. He knew about Joseph before the world was created. He knew that Joseph would be his dad. He knew all the mistakes that Joseph was going to make as a father. Do we think that, or we look at Jesus' life, was Jesus trying to grow up to be a carpenter one day? No. But did it stop him from honoring his father, following in his trade? We know that Jesus honored his father because he kept the commandments. But do we think it was easy for him to do that? Every sin that Joseph had ever committed, because Jesus is God, Jesus had felt that pain hit him in the heart like a dagger. Everything that Joseph had ever done wrong, Jesus knew about and felt. And so any sin that, just, you know, our fathers may have done awful things to us. I don't know where you're coming from this morning. I don't know how bad of a father you had here. But there is nothing as bad that he has done to you than what Joseph himself in his own sinful nature had done to Jesus Christ, and yet Jesus Christ honored him. There's a book called Wild at Heart. I wanted to show this next picture here of the book, and I brought it with me this morning. It's by a man named John Eldridge, and this is the first, I think it's like the first book I ever read cover to cover. Sadly part is, I read this in college. So that means right up to that point, I had never completely read a book all the way through. I made it through high school with Cliff's Notes. So read this book, and it has several chapters on the fact that your father has wounded you. And he's not just talking to those who had fathers who were that of that type, of that wounding type. He's talking to every single one of us, that your father, as good or bad as of a father he was, has wounded you. In that, it says, quoting here, "But a wound that goes unacknowledged and unwept is a wound that cannot heal. A wound you've embraced," and what it means there is that you've embraced the fact, and you said, "This is just how I am now. I'm a wounded person, constantly just gaping," you know, just like, imagine like figuratively that you're just like gushing blood all the time, just an open wound. I'm always hurt. I've embraced I'm a wounded person. He says, "A wound you've embraced is a wound that cannot heal. A wound you think you deserved is a wound that cannot heal." That is why Brandon Manning says the spiritual life begins with the acceptance of our wounded self. And that means saying, yes, I was wounded. You're not, but you're moving on from that. I was wounded, and this is how God used it. So he says, really, how can that be? The reason is simple. Whatever is denied cannot be healed. John Eldridge, Wild at Heart. So the path towards honoring your father begins with accepting your wounded self. So now's not the time to sit here this morning, and guys are especially guilty of this, of just, well, oh, you don't know, man, because I'm tough, and my dad didn't really wound me. He was a jerk, but no, I'm tough. No, this is not the time to be in denial and be tough and pretend that you're not wounded. Yes, just admit it. Admit it. Your father was a human, and he made mistakes, and he wounded you. In Romans 8, it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is the right hand of God, and indeed is interceding for us. God is using that very wound, and he is working it together for the good. God, like it or not, knew who your dad was going to be. And he decided in advance that that wound he was going to inflict on you, he was going to use it in your life. Now, is God's purpose for that wound being fully lived out in you if you're denying it? Or if you're trying to constantly keep it open by just blaming yourself and saying, I deserved it? No. But when we acknowledge that wound and we say, God, my father hurt me, but I want you to know that I trust you with my life, and I'm asking you, take this wound and use it for good. That's when God is able to use it in ways that he can't use it in others. I was talking to someone prior to first service, and just, I don't know, we somehow got into my sermon. I guess it was just like overflowing today. And just talking about their dad, and he said his dad wasn't a very good father. And it's kind of hard for him to be here on Father's Day. And I can't relate in that. I had a good dad. But even though my dad did wound me because he's human, there's ways that this person was wounded by their father that I can't relate. However, because he was wounded in that way, he's able now with his testimony to relate and talk and love on people who themselves have gone through that. And God can use that wound as a badge of honor for his glory. So in light of these things, let's remember that God didn't spare his own son. God loved us so much that he sent his own son to die for us. So why would he spare us pain if he was willing to allow his own son to die for good? God wants to use that pain in your life for his good. So we should honor our fathers despite their shortcomings, because God is using the impact they made on our lives for the good. Maybe your father is no longer living and you're hearing this information this morning and you're not really sure how to handle it right now. Well, when we read there in Matthew earlier, in Old Testament times, if you spoke dishonorably or disrespectfully to your father, they would put you to death. I'm glad we don't live in that time anymore. But it shows how important it is to God what we say about our fathers. And so how do you honor them now? Well, even in their death, if you speak about them, do not speak with disrespect about them. Speak with honor towards them. So we've addressed the need for children to honor fathers. something that we are commanded to do. But this doesn't let fathers off the hook this morning. So our second point is, fathers, honor your children. Verse 4, fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. So Paul first asked children to honor their fathers, worthy of it or not. He asked them to honor them. But now he's holding the father's feet to the fire, and he's telling them to pay honor to their children in return by leading them in the way of Christ. In John chapter 5, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He Himself is doing. And greater works than these will He show Him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will." So here Christ is talking about His relationship with God. It is the perfect image of what it, just like the this is the perfect Father-Son relationship. Christ Himself is submitted in honor to God. And He recognizes here that whatever the Father does, the Son will do likewise. And so the Son is limited by the Father. The Son is, His path in life is affected by what the Father does in His life. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "When Jesus was baptized, immediately He went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Matthew chapter 17, He was still speaking when, "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is My beloved Son, whom with I am well pleased. Listen to Him.'" So in the first story, we are reading from when Jesus Christ is baptized. Immediately after, this voice speaks to everyone around, and you can all hear it saying, "This is My Son, whom I am well pleased." The next instance, Jesus Christ is getting ready to ascend to heaven. He has already been crucified, resurrected, appeared to thousands of people, and now He is getting ready to go back to heaven. And God does this again. "This is My Son, whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." So I was thinking about these two passages and wondering, what was the point in God doing that? Did Christ's actions not warrant the fact that, well, I'm sure God's pleased with Him. Look at Him. Did the people really need to hear God say that? Or was it something that God recognized and still recognizes, that a father's words to his son impact him and mean it can affect his path in life? I find it interesting that in Jesus' baptism, God speaks, and it kicks off His ministry. It kicks off Christ's ministry here on earth. And then on the mountain, when Christ is getting ready to ascend, God speaks, and it kicks off His ministry from the heavens. And so God spoke in key points in Jesus Christ's life because He knew that it was going to affect His ministry. And it was kind of the seal of approval that this is My Son. And then He says to the disciples, "Listen to Him," giving Him authority. So a father has the ability to do that, to speak over someone, honor and authority. My dad, when they were thinking of a name for me, wanted to do this for me. He decided to call me Stephen Andrew Combs. And the name Stephen in the Greek means crowned one. And the name Andrew means man or warrior. And so when my dad called me Stephen Andrew, he intentionally called me crowned one and warrior. So before he even knew me, my dad believed in me. And he spoke over me this. You know why? Because my dad recognized the power of a name. He learned that from God. He saw God change the name Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter, Saul to Paul. God changed people's names in the Bible in key places to represent what he was doing in their lives. He honored them with a new name, just as he honored them by empowering their ministry. In John 15:15, "But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you." So listen, friends. Regardless of the name that your earthly father gave you, he might have named you after the Bee Gees. I don't know. Okay? And I have never, I don't even know what you'd call someone named after the Bee Gees. Regardless of that name, God calls you friend. I love my name. Stephen Andrew, cool name. Crown One Warrior, yeah. Ugh, you know? But the name that really matters to me is the name friend. That the God of angel armies, as we sing in those songs, that he calls me friend. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't have any physical children of your own, and you're trying to figure out how to use this information. You're saying, I'm not a father. Well, is there someone in your life that you know looks up to you? Or you're in a place of authority over them? Is there someone in your life who is just waiting on you to give them respect or honor? You have the power to do that in their lives. You have the power to speak honor or dishonor over them. When I was in college, just go ahead and pop up this next picture. When I was in college, the end of my sophomore year, I came to a crossroads. I was getting ready, and the way it worked in the School of Music was that after your second year, you would transition into more of the stuff that only applies to your major. So prior to that point, my freshman and sophomore years in the School of Music, I had been taking music theory and music history and stuff, but I was getting ready to go now into more of the education part of it, because that was the degree I had gotten into, was School of Education. And I just realized, like, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to be a band teacher. It just wasn't for me. And so I was also really worn out from just School of Music is so demanding of my time. And I was observing people around me who, like, they seemed like they had tons of time with their you know, major. But School of Music, I just feel like my whole world was there. And I felt like I wanted to quit. I felt like I wanted to maybe go into the School of Communication or maybe School of Business and just get, I was going to get a degree, but I wasn't going to finish this one out. This one's just too hard. And so I came to my dad with this information. It was a really tough thing to bring to him. And I told him all that. He just kind of looked down for a minute and thought, and just looked at me and said, "Stephen, whatever happened to the boy who sat here 2 years ago and said, I'm going to be the greatest drummer in the world?" Because I've never known how to dream small or rationally. and so he said that to me. And I thought about that. And I'll be honest, I had forgotten about that dream. I'd forgotten about my dream to be the greatest drummer in the world. And he said, "What would that boy, what would that person think of you today? Would he do this? Are you really wanting to quit the School of Music because it's the right thing for you, or is it just the easy thing? Are you wanting to quit because of a wise decision or because of an emotional decision?" And when he asked those questions, I knew in my heart of hearts I was making the wrong decision. And somehow in that conversation, not only did he and I decide I wasn't going to quit the School of Music, but I was going to go back. And I was still going to change majors, but now I was going to change to the School of Performance, which meant that it was going to be even harder than it was before. But now I was really going to focus hard on that original dream, greatest drummer in the world. And some reason I was able to get a fire under me to do that. It doesn't make any sense how I work, but I was able to, out of my tiredness, somehow be able to say, I'll work harder. And my father's words made a huge difference in my life. Because I did finish the School of Music and Performance. And this is my junior recital here. I couldn't find a good picture of my senior recital. And you see me there playing four mallets on marimba, which is a really tough technique to master. It's something I look back on and I'm proud and I feel honored that I finished that degree. See, my dad knew what the difference a father could make in a son's life. He knew that he could direct my paths in what he said to me, so he didn't take his words lightly that day. So fathers, don't you want to leave a legacy here on earth? Instill it into your child. Honor them with your words and with your life that you live in front of them. The effect you have on your child is going to mark them. But we can't successfully honor our fathers. And as fathers, we can't successfully honor our children without doing this third action. So servants, honor Christ. Verse 6, it says, don't just do what you have to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. So Paul concludes with telling us to honor the Son by working heartily for our earthly masters. We're to honor God in everything that we do. In John 5, it says, the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. What do we see here? This morning we're talking about honoring fathers. You cannot honor the Father if you don't first honor the Son. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So salvation comes through Christ alone. It comes from confessing that Jesus is Lord, believing in him. Those are the bare minimum. That's obedience. That's us looking at him and then comparing it to our own lives and saying, he's it. I give you my life. I obey you. But how do we go beyond that and honor him? Well, in Malachi, we see chapter 1, verse 6. The Lord of heaven's army says to the priests, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Flipping on, Malachi 3:7. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So God is speaking to Israel here through the prophet Malachi. I see three things right here he's upset about. First of all, he's upset because they're offering God their leftovers and their second best. Second, I see that they're not giving God their tithes, which is the first 10% of your income. They're not giving it to him. And then third, they're not giving God their offerings or contributions. And that's what comes above and beyond your tithe and the bare minimum. They're not giving him those things. And so this morning, if we look at our own lives and we realize, I'm just giving God what I have left over of myself. I'm giving him my second best. This whole tithe thing, I know I've heard him talk about it every week, but I've never committed to it. Maybe you are tithing and you're being obedient in that, but you're thinking this morning, how do I honor God? Well, maybe you need to be offering him above and beyond and giving sacrificially to him. This is not just a financial thing. This is a physical giving of your life and everything you do. Are you giving Him your second best? Jesus Christ held nothing back in what He gave to grant us life. He spilt all of His blood, and He sacrificed it all for us. So we should honor Him with our lives. I have here, last thing in the box here, a pack of peanut M&Ms, my favorite candy. Who here wants this pack of M&Ms? All right, Aaron. Whoa! Okay, I hit Marcia in the head. I apologize. She had her hand up first. So, Aaron, I've given you a pack of M&Ms. If I were to tell you right now, would you give that to Caroline? Would you be okay with that? You give it to her? Yeah. Don't now give it back, Caroline. It's still hers. And because you didn't have that when you walked in this room this morning, you don't have real ownership over that pack of M&Ms yet. But if I were to wait a couple of hours, or maybe wait a day, it might start getting a little hard to give them M&Ms away. Starting to feel some ownership of these. And just imagine now that I gave you something of real value. Imagine I had a case with $1 million up here. Now, I'd have a hard time giving that to you myself. Bobby races. Imagine I gave that to you. How much harder would that be to give away? Especially if I waited a long time and asked you to give it away. I have a picture here of my daughter, Cadence, who is a notorious chocolate lover. And this is her eating ice cream, chocolate ice cream. And when we were there eating it together, I asked her for a bite, and she said, no. I said, all right, okay, let's think about this logically. Dad could buy you so much chocolate that we would fill this whole room. You'd have more chocolate than you could ever eat or want. So, won't you give me a bite? No. There was no reasoning with her to help her understand the fact that chocolate she's eating right now, I just paid for. I gave that to her. She didn't do squat to earn that chocolate. And it's funny to me, we can clearly understand that. That's obvious. Yeah, Stephen gave him the chocolate. But when we look at our own lives, and the very breath that you're breathing right now, the very fact that you're sitting here this morning, that you were able to make it here this morning, the very fact that you have any possessions or belongings at all is all because God loved you enough to let you have those things. And so when God asks for something back from us, He's only asking back what He gave you to begin with. And because Jesus Christ was willing to give it all for us, and we know that we have an eternity with Him in heaven to look forward to, why would we hold our fists so tight in giving back to Him our own lives and being willing to be sacrificial back towards Him and to honor Him? We read in John 12, it says, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So we see here that in order to follow Christ, we have to be willing to look at everything in our life in a way that we would be willing to lose it all for Him, whether it be our possessions, our money, our career, our love life, or lack of a love life, our family, our friends. We have to be willing to give it all to Him if we are to follow Him, and much more if we are to honor Him. And then last of all, we read this earlier, Malachi 3, I will open the windows of heavens for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Test Him. Honor Him back, sacrifice for Him, and see if God will not in return bless us so abundantly that all nations call us blessed. So this morning, children, honor your fathers. It doesn't matter if they were worthy of it. Honor them. And realize the fact that the hurts that they've put in your life are the very hurts that God is using now to make you the person you have become today. And He wants the best for you, and He's going to continue to use those hurts. Fathers, honor your children and lead them in the way of God. Realize the power that you have over them to change their path and to affect them and to wound them. And then last of all, servants, let's all honor Christ. Let's give Him our first, our best, our whole lives. Because without doing these three things, we cannot possibly honor God. And then last of all, I want you to hear this from me. That you cannot possibly do any of these things either if you do not know Christ. We read earlier in Romans 10:9 that we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, that He would save us. And so some of us this morning have to make that first step right now just to give Christ your life. And only through that will He unlock all of this for you. Will He unlock the ability to honor God the Father with your life and thus experience the love and the joy that comes through Him. Everyone, will you submit your whole life to honoring Christ? Let's pray. Dear God, some of us here this morning are hurt. Their father has hurt them, and it's difficult right now to even be here and to think about it. God, I pray, Lord, you know what their father did in their life, the effect it has had on them. Only you can see that. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, help us to accept that wound. God, that we would trust you with that. And we ask, God, can you, how? God, please work that wound for the good and use it in our lives. God, we ask that as fathers and as parents, help us to lead our children in the way that you led for us, God, the way that you so graciously granted us everything that we have. Help us to lead our children that type of sacrifice, that we would honor them with that. And then last of all, help us as servants to honor Christ. Help us to give Him our all. Some of us this morning, right now, as we're praying, are loosening their grip on their possessions, and they're loosening their grip on their own lives and saying, you know what? Christ gave it all for me. All I have is His anyway, and I give it back to Him. And then last of all, if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Christ, pray along with me. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I am a failure. And I realize that I cannot do this without you. I cannot live this life without you. Will you come into my life? Will you become my Lord, my one desire? I choose from here on to follow you. And ask that you would forgive me and lead me and cleanse me of my sin and use me now for your purpose. We ask these things now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.